Shiva Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Vantara Shiva Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, go pray, Manande.
So, what did we discuss in last night's class?
Too late, you guys. You too late. You too late, and you too late. Okay, nonsense. Three nonsenses.
She
can
drop
Rasi. Yeah, well, Rasi. She can be dropped anytime. Doesn't have to be dropped at 8 o'clock just before class. So. Any other points?
You must have a business teachers.
Good. Anything else?
Krishna is always in pure goodness, like no contamination, we should be sattva.
What about you? Vishuddha? Any other points?
Krishna come to this material world just to play, have fun, and all demons killed by him just one of his expansion, not just for his reward.
Anything else? Okay. So, tonight we'll enter into chapter 38. What is chapter 38 called? Akaruru's arrival in? Vrindavan. Okay. So this is an important chapter because this is where the Vrindavan pastimes will finish in the next couple of chapters. So actually, for one who is a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a very difficult pastime to discuss and to meditate upon. So, tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 20. This is chapter 38. So the next exam will be at the end of chapter 40. So it's not long. Probably at the end of this month, then we'll have the next. Okay. So, text number 1. Chapter 38. Please come. Please coming. Too late. Text number 1. Shukadeva Goswami said, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akrura mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Bit of a bundle, Kuru.
He comes out of Akrura to go to Vrindavana, under the sea of the dark fortnight of the Vedic month of Kavu. After spending the night in Mathura, Akrura left early the next day. That morning, Narada offered his prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan. And in the afternoon, the demon Vyoma was killed there. At dusk, Akrura entered the Lord's village.
Any points there? So, what is the nature of a Kuru's love? He has prema for Krishna. So when one has prema, as we're discussing in the class this morning, then one is feeling asakti. Asakti means deep attachment to Krishna. So because of the deep attachment to Krishna, he could not even sleep the whole night. When you're so much meditating on someone, sometimes you cannot even sleep because of the depth of the meditation. So because Krishna was in Vrindavan and Akura knew that he would have the opportunity to see him the next day, then the whole night he could not sleep. It also happened to be Ekadashi on that previous day. So because it was Ekadashi, hey, don't come late. What's your problem? Come on time. Not like this nonsense. So because it was Ekadashi the previous night, he also stayed up the entire night, which is actually the way we're meant to spend Ekadashi. Ekadashi should be spent simply hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is the process. So on Ekadashi, devotees, Prabhupada actually mentions, devotees should stay up the entire night. They should not eat or sleep, and they should simply hear and chant about Krishna. So Akuru was acting like that the whole night. Oh God, what are you doing? Like hippies. Here come all the hippies. Come on, all the hippies, come. What am I going to do with all you? Too much. Okay. So come over here if you want. So the whole night he was completely awake and he was just meditating on Krishna. Completely absorbed. So he did not even sleep. And because it was the Ekadashi, Prabhupada explains this is actually the way that we observe Ekadashi. Right? We should not eat and we should not sleep. We should stay up the entire night and simply absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this is the spontaneous platform of love. What we're hearing about is how we should meditate on Krishna spontaneously. A devotee should rise early in the morning. That is the system in Krishna consciousness. But it is not that in the beginning, like with everything we do in sadhana, chanting our rounds, rising early, reading Prabhupada's books, different things, we do it out of a sense of vaiti. Vaiti means according to rules and regulations. That is based upon fear. If I do not do it, then something negative will happen to me. I'll fall into maya. I cannot remember Krishna. My guru will not be happy. I've taken vows like this. So, but that is good because that is an impetus for us to begin Krishna consciousness. But when one becomes more advanced, it is out of spontaneity. He just wants to be there. Out of love for Krishna. So Akura rose early. He did not sleep all night because of love for Krishna. And then he rose early because of love for Krishna. It was spontaneous. Just like, you know, very soon the festival season will begin. So you see on Janmashtami, right? Mangaladi, normally we have like 30 devotees, 40 devotees. But then on Janmashtami, we'll have, you know, 300, 400, 500 will come. Why? Because on Janmashtami is very powerful and devotees spontaneously feel, I must go to be with Krishna. So that brings us, days like Janmashtami bring us to a higher level of devotion, where we experience momentarily, you know, for that day, we feel a spontaneous attachment to Krishna. But this is how advanced devotees are always feeling. Right? They're absorbed in prema or love for Krishna, so because of their intense love and desire, they give up eating, they give up sleeping. Just like we hear about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They gave up eating, they gave up sleeping. Raghunath Das Goswami is just taking charge, buttermilk, in a cup. No, that's all he's taking in a day. Prabhupada says sleeping less than 1.5 hours a day. Right? So absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada himself was like that. So absorbed, practically eating and sleeping were not there. Right? So that is the level of prema. No? So a Krura has this level of attachment to Krishna, asakti. So spontaneously, he just wants. Doesn't sleep because he's just thinking of Krishna. Actually, it mentions, close the door properly. Someone, Brinda, you can close. Brinda will do. So, actually, the Acharya has mentioned he had spent many sleepless nights. Many nights he could not sleep because he was just in anticipation. When will I see Krishna? When will I see Krishna? That is the mood of the eternal associates, those who have love for Krishna. Just like the bridge basis. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were chanting while the six Goswamis were living in Vrindavan. Hey Radhe Brajadeviki Chalalite. Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. Kuta means where are you? Where are you? So that is the mood of the devotee. Where is Krishna? He is searching. He is attached to Krishna. So spontaneously he gives up eating and sleeping, mating, defending. So the Acharyas point out that he was so attached to seeing Krishna that he did not even break his Ekadashi fast. Normally in Vedic culture we break our Ekadashi fast on time, in the right titi, at the right moment. But he was so attached, he didn't even do that. Right? He gave up his rules and his regulations just to be with Krishna. No fear of breaking rules and regulations. When spontaneous love becomes very intense, one does not even care for rules and regulations. Right? He just wants to serve Krishna. In the beginning, we have to follow everything strictly. But when you become advanced, then you may alter things. We see that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When all the devotees, they walk from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. So when they came to Jagannath Puri, they were so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, they walked straight past Lord Jagannath's temple. So Jagannath himself, right, is there in the temple. They walked straight past, right? Neglected Jagannath just to see Lord Chaitanya. That's how attached they were. So this is spontaneous love. Cannot be imitated. But in the Bhagavatam, this is what we hear about. This is what we learn about. A Krura has this kind of love. Rises early in the morning, could not even sleep, just meditating on Krishna, got on the chariot, drove all day to find Krishna. Did not even break a Ekadashi. Right? He fasted the previous day for a Ekadashi, did not even break the fast. Right? He wasn't even interested in rules and regulations. He just wanted to see Krishna. That is love. We can't imitate that, but that is the standard that we need to come to eventually. That's all. Any points? Okay. As he traveled on the road, the great soul, Akrura, felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, and thus he began to consider as follows. Sri Akrura thought, what pious deeds have I done? What severe austerities undergone? What worship performed or charity given, so that today I will see Lord Keshava? So he is listing all the different ways that we can develop qualification, adhikar, to see Krishna. Krishna is Swarat. What does Swarat mean? Independent. First verse of Bhagavatam says, Krishna is independent. So you can't force him to see you. But he will be attracted by what?
Devotion.
Yeah, bhakti. When you have prema bhakti, he becomes attracted. And then even though he is independent, but he becomes controlled by the devotee. Rupa Goswami explains the qualification of prema bhakti as Sri Krishna Kashani, which means it captivates Krishna, controls Krishna. So Krishna becomes so much attached, even though he's independent, but he becomes controlled by the devotee. And the devotee forces him to appear. That because of the strength of the love. Even though he's independent, but he will come. He cannot resist.
when a devotee loves him. So, all of these things, Akrura is saying, what did I do? I did this, I gave charity, I performed austerities, I did so many things, right? And now this must be accumulating, and now I can see Krishna. So this is what it means when we do devotional service. It means every time you do some devotional service to Krishna, Prabhupada says you're putting money in your spiritual bank account. Just like one time Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and he looked off the balcony, and he saw some devotees were picking flowers, right? And then Prabhupada said, they were Matijis, and they were picking flowers. And Prabhupada said, every flower they pick, they come one step closer to Krishna. So all the devotional service, it's like putting money in the bank account, Prabhupada said. And then gradually, eventually you'll get enough, and then you can purchase Krishna. Or if you don't have enough, then maybe Krishna will be merciful, and he'll say, well, you know, you tried your best, so maybe I'll give you some special. Any points?
You do your best in terms of devotional service, diet will take care, or there is a mercy caught up.
So hopefully we'll get some special mercy. Since I am a materialistic person absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttamashloka as it would be for one born a Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras.
So what's interesting about this verse?
Huh?
Devotees always think himself very low.
Yeah, that's nice. What else is it? Yeah, because it means that a devotee, he thinks, I'm not qualified to see Krishna. That is humility, right? Until we have humility, we have no qualification in bhakti. So that's the first point. The first point is that Akrura has humility. Right? Humility has to become genuine. At this point in time, our humility is somewhat feigned, or it is somewhat, it's not always natural. Some devotees are naturally humble, but other devotees are not so naturally humble. And some devotees do a good job of pretending they're humble. And some devotees don't do a very good job of pretending that they're humble. So we have all sorts of different levels of atika. So Akrura, he is showing what we could say is the correct platform for spiritual advancement. Until there is genuine humility, you cannot advance properly in Krishna consciousness. Because actually, if you read Shikshastika is Lord Chaitanya's commentary on the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya did not write a commentary. Right? He just condensed all 8 verses. That was his commentary, the whole philosophy of the Bhagavatam. Right? So Rupa Goswami says we have to move from Shraddha to Prema. And Shikshastika, those 8 verses, they go through the 8 levels, from Shraddha to Prema. Now, what does the third verse? What does the third verse represent? Which level? What is the third verse? Shikshastika. It's after the second verse, just before the fourth verse and the third verse. Number 3. Oh, come on. Everyone should know this. That's the second one. Third one.
Ek, du, teen. Trinadati Sunichina. So you should know that. You actually need to know the order of the Shikshastikas. The entire philosophy is in there. So you need to know which verse correlates to which level of bhakti. Right. So, the third verse, Trinadapi Sunichina. One must be more humble than a blade of grass. Right? This is what Akrura is teaching us right now. We must be more humble than a blade of grass. Right? I studied Shikshastika many years ago, carefully. Right? Commentaries by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, we have to meditate on this very deeply. What does it mean to be more humble than a blade of grass? That's actual humility. Right? Because it means the grass is trampled on and he doesn't even get up after he's trampled. Or you trample and he just gets up and he doesn't respond. Right? Someone says something to you, you just, okay, no problem. That's real humility. You know? More tolerant than a tree. Devoid of any sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respect to others, not expecting any respect for oneself. In that state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Right? So that verse is the gateway to nishtha. Nishtha means steadiness in devotional service. Right? Hands up if you want to be steady in devotional service. Okay, good. So, if you want to be steady, you have to imbibe that verse. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, said that verse is the Siddha Pranali for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Siddha Pranali means the verse that gives you perfection. Right? If you can imbibe the qualities in that verse, you'll become perfect in Krishna consciousness. That's all you have to. And Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, says you have to always wear that verse around your neck like Kanti Mala. Right? Like we always have Kanti Mala on, right? You ever took it off? Huh? You ever not had it on? No. Since I became a devotee, I never not had it. You know, if it breaks, put the next one straight on. Right? Always there, always. Right? So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that verse should be around our neck. So we should always be like that. We're not always like that, but we should always be like that. Trinana Pisa Nichina Tarura Pisa Ishishna Amanina Manadena, like that. So you have to become like that. So this verse is the way to become nishtha. Nishtha means fixed in devotional service. The reason we're not fixed is because we're not imbibing that verse. Because always offer respect to others, and actually in the commentary the acharyas say that is the most important aspect of all the elements in that verse. Right? The most important element in that verse is always offer respect to others. Right? Don't expect for yourself, but always offer to others. Actually, that's the way to become perfect. You just give respect to all devotees. And if you can do that, we don't do that. But if we can do that, your mind will never be disturbed. How much time do we waste every day thinking about, oh, this person doesn't like me. No, this person doesn't like me. Right? This person said something that disturbed me, gives me trouble. How much time your mental energy is gone? But if you're actually humble, you just be respectful. You say, actually, I deserve it. Right? And just offer respect to that person. Right? Maybe you won't spend much time with that person. But you might separate yourself from that person. But at least in your mind, you're respectful. Oh, they're a good devotee. I don't want their association, but they're a good devotee. So that is the adhika, or the qualification. And if you can do that, you will be nishtha. Because nishtha means your bhajan would not be disturbed or interrupted. Our bhajan is always disturbed, always interrupted by improper thoughts, and that's because we're not on this platform of actual humility. So Akrura is teaching us this is the platform to make spiritual advancement. Right? It is humility. So he's acting in a very humble way. And this shows the power of devotional service.
He is saying in this verse, I got the opportunity, I will get the opportunity to see Lord Uttama Shloka and this is more difficult even than for a Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. Now, what's significant about this verse? Kalo Sudra Sambhav. We're all born Shudra or less. Huh? What is less than Shudra? Malecha. Yavana. Huh? Chandala. Huh? Yeah, if you want to go deep, yeah. Polinda, Kash, then all the races as well. So we are like that. You know, I was like this before I became the Krishna consciousness. I ate meat. Right? So I'm not even Shudra. Shudras don't eat meat. Right? Shudra is in Vedic culture. A Shudra does not eat meat. They're at least vegetarian. If you go to India, veg or non-veg, right? Because everyone knows veg is the right thing. Most people were veg. Even Shudras were veg. The only people who don't eat, who have the non-veg, that's lower than Shudra. That's what I was before I became devotee. Lower than Shudra. So what is significant? It says, one who is born Shudra or lower is allowed to recite Vedic mantras. Now we're allowed to recite Vedic mantras. How? No, because Prabhupada's potency. Prabhupada took those who were low and then he gave them adhikar, qualification. Changed them from bell metal to gold. How is that possible? By the process of purification. So a Akura is thinking like that. I did so much bhakti. That's the power of bhakti. The power of bhakti can take anyone, even the lowest person, make them the most elevated person. Right? All of us were like that. Right? Before we became devotees, so many things. You know, Prabhupada picked up the lowest and made them gurus. Even one story was told. In 1966, Prabhupada, 26 Second Avenue. You seen the pictures back those days, 26 Second Avenue? It's good actually, you should all get on the internet or get into the Leelamrita or the books. See the pictures. Has anyone seen the footage of the first Ratha Yatra in San Francisco? Anyone seen that? Look that up on the, yeah, look that one up. I mean, they were hippies. Yeah, you see where Prabhupada started from and what he turned it into and how he changed people. It's incredible, actually. So Prabhupada was there in 26 Second Avenue and, you know, all the hippies on the ground and Prabhupada's chanting. And, you know, people are, you see the footage. Mm-hmm. You know, 96, people are like, they're on LSD. There's one girl going, like this, you know, the Prabhupada just chanting. Some girl going, like, oh, doing this thing. And all these people, everyone's doing all these things. Other people going, like, you know, like this, you know, doing all this stuff, you know. This is how Prabhupada started. So, anyway, someone offered the art, you know, that lamp, offered the arti. And then they took it around, everyone going like this. And then, you know, they took to one person. Got the cigarette and then like and Prabhupada chanting. Prabhupada went right? And now that person, right, is a guru in ISKCON. You want to know the name?
Yes.
I don't know who it is. I was told that. Someone told, I heard that story. So you can't imagine. Prabhupada started ISKCON like that. But he changed it, just like Akura says here. So the point is, it doesn't matter what we are born as, we can see Krishna. Prabhupada is creating the qualification that we can see Krishna. Just like Akura. Akura is saying, what is my qualification? But by the power of bhakti,
tomorrow we'll see Krishna. Later today we'll see Krishna. And we can also see Krishna. That is the goal. Prabhupada says that is the goal of this whole movement. You will see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada said, and you will take him by the hand and lead him like Mother Yashoda. That is the program. Any points?
The pastor said of Shyam Sundar Prabhu when he carved the first Jagannath deity. I heard that you mentioned that he carved it from those little deities which Malkina just got from that store. And then while carving the deities, he used to smoke and used to put a cigarette on top of Jagannath. And once Prabhupada came to see the progress, and Prabhupada saw that cigarette on top of Lord Jagannath, and he asked him, he said, do you want the cigarette to come in between you and Krishna? So then Shyam Sundar Prabhu.
At that time. So Prabhupada
used to allow even devotees who are smoking and all to
carve
Jagannath
deities
just to bring them into
Krishna. Yeah, well, we can't even imagine. Yeah. Only Prabhupada could have done all this. It's not possible. Anyone else could not have done what Prabhupada did. By then. Okay. But enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. For one of the conditioned souls, being swept along in the river of time, may sometimes reach the shore. So this is the symptom of someone who's on the advanced level of devotional service. He has a... how do you explain it? It's like a... friction or a, how to explain it? It's like two things which
conflict?
Are,
huh? Internal conflict.
Yeah, like an internal conflict. There's like a, between his humility, right? Feeling himself the lowest personality and simultaneously having great hope. This is explained by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I think in chapter 17. Bhava Bhakti, where he lists the nine symptoms of Bhava, and he says that a devotee has the most deepest humility but simultaneously the greatest hope that he will attain Krishna. So we have to feel like that. Simultaneously we have no qualification, but simultaneously the deepest desire to actually meet with Krishna, and that humility becomes the qualification to see Krishna. So both. And it's like they're contradictory almost and conflicting. And a devotee feels torn apart within. Yeah? A devotee is burning within. He's feeling within himself, I want to see Krishna, but I'm not qualified. But I cannot give up the desire to see him. But simultaneously, I have no qualification to see him. But I want to see him. And just the intense situation inside a devotee's heart. So Kuru is showing us this high level of bhakti. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says you have to have three things if you want to see Krishna. Do you want to know what the three things are?
Yes.
Okay. Then you better pay your fees. Okay. Three things if you want to see Krishna. Yeah, it's not funny, Jamuna. Right? You want me to show you right now? Right? I'll show you the list. Right? How many weeks behind you are? Right? So, cover your ears right now. You can only get one of them. Okay. So, three things you must have. First thing is humility. If you want to see Krishna, you must have humility. No humility, you will never see Krishna. Second thing is intelligence. Buddhi. Right? You have to have good intelligence to see Krishna. It means not becoming bewildered by Maya. Krishna says this, third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, why sometimes I'm distracted? Krishna says, lust alone, karma esha, krodha esha. And then he explains after that, he said, you must have good intelligence to stop yourself going off the path. Right? And the third thing is determination. If you want to see Krishna, you have to be determined, unstoppable. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, you have to become like a kshatriya. What's a kshatriya like? Right? What happens? He's in the battle.
He's determined to win the battle.
Yes, so determined to win the battle. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, even when he gets hit by an arrow, what does he do? Yeah, he just breaks it. He throws on the ground, he keeps going. That's a kshatriya. He fights to the death. Right? If you want to see Krishna, Vishnu says you have to be like that. Right? Maya throws anything at you, right? But you just whatever, and you keep going to see Krishna. So you must have that qualification. Any points? Okay.
So when you say you need to have intelligence.
Yes. It means you get intelligence by studying Shastra. So it means you have to study. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worthwhile. Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. So, our birth becomes successful when we eradicate all of our sinful reactions. Right? Rupa Goswami speaks about this in the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says that we must, by the process of bhakti, you burn up all of your pap. Means the reactions. It means even the bija, the seeds. It means the kuta. Kuta means a sinful proclivity. Right? All of us have this because of being in the material world for so many lifetimes. We have a proclivity towards sin. We're habituated to commit sinful activities. It's in our consciousness. The process of bhakti destroys that. It cleanses the heart of that. From the chitta, all the consciousness. The Parabdha Karma is destroyed, the Aparabdha Karma is destroyed, all these things are destroyed. So, our birth becomes successful when these sinful desires are given up. When all of this sinful desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is gone from our consciousness, then we're successful. So Akrura, he was so intense in his love for Krishna, everything was burnt away. That happens when you become intense in your devotional service. So you have to make your devotional service intense. And if it's not intense, then just go to your gurus and ask them, how do I make it more intense? And they'll do it for you. Prabhupada was so intense in Prabhupada's day, in the 70s, so intense. You know, what's the most famous story in the Lilamrita, the intensity in Prabhupada's time? Right? Prabhupada told the devotees, you have to finish Chaitanya Charitamrita in 2 months. Right? 17 volumes in 2 months. Prabhupada was walking down the beach. Rameshwara Prabhu was with him. He was head of the BBT. And Prabhupada said, I want to finish the whole thing in 2 months. Right? 17 volumes published in 2 months. And he just stopped. He just stopped walking. He just looked at Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, that's impossible. Right? Prabhupada put the cane down. He said, impossible is the word in the Fool's Dictionary. And he walked off. And Rameshwara was like, and then he realized that Prabhupada is serious. So he ran down the beach, got in the car, drove back to the BBT, went in and said, we have to finish it in 2 months. The whole thing. So everyone virtually gave up eating and sleeping for 2 months. Everyone was just eating and, you know, painting and just doing the whole thing. Everyone only slept 5-6 hours a day. Right? Everyone was just intense. Purified. Devotional service will free us from these material proclivities, these sinful desires. Indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. So he is saying thank you to Kamsa. King Kamsa? How do we usually think of King Kamsa? He's the worst person. But Akuru is thinking he is so fortunate because today he's sending me to see Krishna. So what is Kamsa doing? It's called Agyato Sukriti, unknown devotional service. He's actually doing devotional service because he gives the chariot to Akrura and he says, now go and bring Krishna back. So many people in this world have demoniac qualities, but if we engage them in Krishna's service, they become purified. So many people these days, they do terrible things, but we try to engage them in Krishna's service somehow or other. So we have to engage everyone in Krishna's service. Get them to chant the holy name, get them to read the books, get them to take the prasad, right? And then gradually they'll give up their sinful activities. Yes.
Similar example I remember about Vidura and Duryodhan. When Duryodhan had cursed Vidura that you are eating the sweets in a house of you. Then he said, so he was forced to go to pilgrimage, Vidura.
Yeah.
Duryodhan.
Yeah.
Rebuked him.
Okay. Yeah, good example. The lotus feet. Those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods, by the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions, and those feet are smeared with the kumkum from the gopis' breasts. So actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out which rasa or which bhava is Akrura in. Dasya. But he's talking about, or he is appreciating the conjugal pastimes. Madhuri rasa, yeah. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this like the parent, right? May think, well, my children, now they're married and now they have husbands and wives, and you know, and in the mind may appreciate the relationship that the children are having like that, but not directly experiencing it, but appreciating it. So in the mind he is appreciating Krishna's relationship with the gopis, the cowherd boys, like that. So he's appreciating the residents of Vrindavan. So this is the elevated position of the residents of Vrindavan. He appreciates them. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda, since the deer are now walking past me on my right. That face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances and his reddish lotus eyes. So he is seeing auspicious omens. So there is a whole science, a whole art about this. Auspicious omens. You know the crows? Especially in India. A lot of crows are there. You see them? In India? Especially Jagannath Puri. I don't know other places, but Jagannath Puri is a lot of crows. Everywhere. So there's a whole art on understanding the crows. If they do something like this, that's auspicious. If they do something like that, that's inauspicious. You know, I told you before, if they peck on your shadow, that means you will die. Yeah? You will die soon. Like that. So this is the art of understanding the omens. So there's so many omens in the Vedic culture. You know, if a deer goes on the right side, it's auspicious. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says a devotee, as he becomes advanced, like he's going somewhere and he's thinking of Krishna. I do this, you know, not that I'm advanced, but I think like this. Sometimes I go somewhere and then I think, I see, like I'm thinking about something in my mind, about my devotional service, what I should do, something like that. And then I see like a animal or something, and then I think, or the birds, I see the birds flying. And then I think if the bird goes that way, Krishna's happy with this, and if it goes that way, not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says we should do like that. Right? You see the animal, you see signs all the time. Not just animal, any, so many things. Right? You can take, is Krishna happy with me? Is he not happy with me? Right? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? Right? So you can see like that. So a devotee thinks like that. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, like a devotee will be walking, then he'll look ahead, and then he'll see the deer, and he'll think, if they go on the right side, then Krishna is pleased. If they go on the left side, then Krishna is not pleased. So all of us can do like that. We can have like an internal dialogue with Krishna. So his crew is very advanced, and he sees the deer go on the right side. That's an auspicious omen. Generally, when things pass on the right, that's considered auspicious. If they come on the left, then you think, okay, inauspicious. And you know when the body trembles? Huh? Mm-hmm. On the left side, what does that mean? If you have twitching on the left?
Man is good for
in China?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's opposite for the men and for the women. And it happens, actually. On the right side for the man is auspicious, the left side is inauspicious, and on the woman, it's the opposite. Sometimes you get twitching in the body, you notice, especially the eyes, but it's twitching. I remember one time very distinctly, a number of years, just before I moved to the farm, that I was thinking of doing something in my life, like going a particular direction, and the whole left side of my body was like twitching like that. And I thought, ooh. And then I asked Banaswamy and Madhava Maharaj, I said like that. I said, you know, this is inauspicious. So right side for the man, that's auspicious. If you get twitches like that. But for the woman, it's the opposite. Like that. So these things also assist us in devotional service. I am going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who by his own sweet will has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. He is the witness. Now, there's a couple of prayers here. All of these are prayers. Actually, there are nine ways to serve Krishna. What are the nine ways to serve Krishna? Given by Prahlad Maharaj. So you know there's nine, right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. Vandanam means prayers. Each item in devotional service has a particular devotee who exemplifies that item. So who is Vandanam? Akura, actually. And these are his prayers. Right? So these prayers are especially spoken by Akura. They're perfect prayers in devotional service. He teaches us how to pray to Krishna. Now, these two verses we're about to read, they have a lot of philosophy in them, very philosophical prayers. A lot of deep meaning and content and understanding. He is the witness of material cause and effect, yet he is always free from the false identification with them. By his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. The individual souls in this world who are manifested here, when he glances upon his material creative energy, indirectly perceive him in the activities of their life, airs, senses, and intelligence. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what is the definition of Maya? Illusion. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when you see this material world as separate from Krishna. When you don't see Krishna related to this material energy, that is Maya. That means you're in Maya. When you stop seeing Krishna and how he's related to all of this, that's illusion. So, in this verse, Akura says that Krishna dispels separation and confusion. If you are not connected to Krishna, you will feel separation. Or in other words, you will become depressed. And you see in this world, what is the number one disease now?
Depression and anxiety.
Mental disease, right? People are depressed, too many. It's like an epidemic out there. Why are they depressed? Right? Depressed and confused. Everyone these days, so many people, they're depressed, they're confused, they don't know what to do. People are really lost now. So many people. Why? One reason. They're not connected to Krishna. A devotee cannot be depressed, he cannot be confused. Why? Because we're connected to Krishna. So how can we be? No, but you see the world these days is so many problems now. Even I told you, one of my friends, she works in Adelaide. She's a personal trainer, you know, teaches people how to do things. So one company called Santos, a big company in Adelaide, they do mining and things like, big company. So they hired her to come in the office at lunchtime, train the people, give them physical activity. So there's 400 people in the office, right? But before they could do her training, they had to sign a disclaimer form, you know, in case someone has a heart attack or something. And they have to write what medication they're on. And she told me, more than 50% of the 400 people are on antidepressants in the company. And this was 10 years ago or something. And so this is the situation in the world these days. People are lost, right? And the only thing is you're connected to Krishna. And even we know in our lives, when we're not connected to Krishna, how do you feel? Yeah, not good. And when you're connected to Krishna, you feel everything is okay. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, if you forget Lord Chaitanya, everything becomes difficult. And if you remember Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult things are easy. So take your choice. Remember him or forget him. You forget Krishna, big problem. You remember Krishna, everything's easy. And Krishna Chanda Bhagavan Ki. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearances. And words that describe these three things animate, beautify and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a corpse. So by hearing about Krishna we become purified, especially hearing about his Nitya Lila. It means anything connected to Krishna. Prabhupada says, we do not differentiate from Krishna in the rasa dance and Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. We relish both equally. When Krishna's on the in other words, when he speaks Bhagavad Gita, we relish the Bhagavad Gita. And actually, Prahlad Nandaswami, he was here many years ago, he said the whole Bhagavad Gita is a Madhurya ras. You have to be very elevated to see it like that, but you know, if you're advanced, you'll see every verse related to Krishna's attachment to his intimate associates. So for us, there's no difference. Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Rasa Lila, it is the same. It purifies the consciousness. So the point is, we have to. Otherwise, Bhagavatam says it's like where the crows go to eat. Yeah? That's what the non-devotees speak about. I got on the tram a few years ago from the city I was coming back to here, to Albert Park, and one man's on his phone, and I can't even tell you what he said. Most disgusting things he was saying, you know, so everyone could hear it. It was like crows. This is what crows eat. Nothing to do with Krishna. And devotees speak about Krishna Katha. That same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satwatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song and which brings auspiciousness to all. Today I shall certainly see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. So what is the qualification for seeing Krishna? Yeah, all those things are correct. Rupa Goswami says, sit down, Brinda. Sit down. No Grammy Kata. Only Krishna Kata. If you're not speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, then you cannot speak today. Hare Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami, he says, in the chapters on Raga Nuga Bhakti, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Nectar Devotion, which chapters are they? 15, 16. Right. So in these chapters, he describes what is the qualification for rag. Rag means attachment to Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan are rag atmika devotees. So what is the qualification to get that? He says you have to pay the price. And he says there's only one price to get Krishna consciousness. What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Sanskrit it is lopa. Lopa, I'm not telling you what it means. Lopa means greed. Yeah, you have to become greedy. We have to become intense. When you want something and you cannot stop thinking about that thing. Right? And until you get it, you will not be satisfied. That is lopa. I want it at all costs, and I will not stop until I get it. So that is lopa. So that is the only qualification for seeing Krishna. That's why Akrura can see Krishna. Because he is just focused on that. Ekeha kuru nandava. Nothing else. Only one thing. Only Krishna. Until we become like that in our devotional service, we can't see Krishna. Why can't we see Krishna now? Yeah, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahushaka Hinantascha. Because we're Bahushaka, many branched. Right? You want this, you want that, you want that. You think of what you want in this life. What do you want? Nice fingernails, nice nail polish, nice earrings, cudgel. Nice dots to put on your head, vermilion, nice sari, Mangala Sutra. You want all these things.
Nice children.
Nice children. Nice husband. Okay, calm down. So many things you want. Right? So we want so many things in Krishna. So that is Bahushaka. Krishna's in there. But there's so many other things as well. But Krishna says it must be Ekeha Kudunandana. Savadama, so many things. Parijaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. When you just become that one thing, that's when you get Krishna. That's the purpose of brahmachari life, actually. And just focus on that one thing. That's what sannyas is. Mind, body, words in Krishna's service. That's what we're aiming for. Okay. Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the supreme personalities of Godhead. Theirs are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan. So, Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, when you get to Vrindavan, we have to arrive in Vrindavan like a Krura. As soon as you get to Vrindavan, you have to roll in the dust. You get there and you just absorb yourself in the dust of Vrindavan. First thing you do as soon as you get to Vrindavan. So a Krura, he bows down to Krishna and to his associates. Just like Prabhupada would say. Devotees would sometimes say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I serve you, but I cannot serve your representatives. Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. So we must serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Because all of them can liberate us. The cowherd boys and Krishna. And the goats. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed, by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. By offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earn the status of Indra, king of heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of the rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. So Akura has heard about the Krishna's dancing with the gopis. What chapter was this?
31.
No, 31 was Gopi Gita. 31, Gopi Gita. 32, the reunion. 33, the rasa dance. Right? So then he danced with everyone. Right? In the 20th verse, it mentions that he, with his own hand, he wiped the perspiration from the gopis, from their foreheads, from their faces. And then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, in the Bhagavatam is saying, Krishna's hand became fragrant by touching the face of the gopis. Krishna's hand was already fragrant, but when it touched the, then it took that fragrance as well, and then became immeasurably attractive.
Is there any reason why serpent is mentioned from Skanda for the time, serpent of time in
second canto of Bhagavatam? Human beings are compared to frogs. And time is a sarp. So if you spend your whole life croaking, then one day time will go. The infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the field of this material body, and with his perfect vision he witnesses, both externally and internally, all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. So this is an important point. Krishna knows our heart. Right? Even though he was sent by Kamsa, Krishna doesn't think when Akrura comes, oh, he's one of Kamsa's men. He knows that he is a devotee. So Krishna knows. It's very important as a devotee, you never lose your moral compass or your devotional qualities. Right? One devotee in Vrindavan, older devotee in Vrindavan, he told me one time, he said, you lose your wealth, you lose nothing. You lose your health, you lose something. He said, if you lose your character, you lose everything. So as devotees, it's extremely important that we maintain our moral integrity, our devotional qualities. We don't compromise those things. Because then Krishna will see that, and he will reward us. He will see, okay, Akrura, you know, you're sent by Kamsa, but you're not like that. You are pure. So Krishna knows. So Krishna actually, he's testing us all the time. As we all know in our lives, he tests us all the time. But the longer you stay in devotional service, the more he tests you. Because he puts you into situations and he wants to see how will you respond. Right? He does this to me all the time. Puts me into situations which are awkward with other devotees, senior devotees, all sorts of things. How will you respond? Right? Even I was watching myself the other day, because the Bhagavatam says, if you're in the mode of passion, if someone insults you, what do you do? You retaliate. Right? Someone says, oh, you're like this, and what do you say? Yeah, well, yeah, well, you're like this. Right? So the other day, someone said like that to me. So it said, you're like this. And then, you know, in my mind, I started going, oh, yeah, well. Yeah, I started to get my list ready. Yeah, you want to see what you're like? So I stopped myself. I thought, look what I'm doing. This means I'm affected by the mode of passion. Because if you're in Rajagun, you'll come straight back. If you're in Sattvagun, you'll just go, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. See you next time. Hare Krishna. So we have to look at ourselves. What's our consciousness? Because Krishna is always testing us. How will you respond? How do you act? How do you speak under all circumstances? Like Krishna is testing. Okay, two more verses. Thus, he will cast his smiling, affectionate glance upon me as I remain fixed with joined palms, fallen in obeisances at his feet. Then all my contamination will at once be dispelled, and I will give up all doubts and feel the most intense bliss. So actually it describes that at this point in time, he's meditating on Krishna. He's meditating on Krishna's eyes. Krishna is known as Padmalochan. Now, what is the nature of Krishna's eyes?
Pinkish.
Yeah. Krishna's eyes. Now, what do we call the white part of our eyes?
Iris.
The iris, right? Krishna's iris, it's not white, it's pinkish. Now, why is it pinkish? I've explained to you before. Because why? What did you say, Ronnie? Yeah, very good. Yeah, because he always has tears in his eyes. When you love someone, you become emotional, right? And tears are there in the eyes. And when tears are in the iris turns pinkish. Like that. You know, when you're crying a lot, then it goes pinkish like that. So Krishna's eyes are always like that because he always has tears because he has so much love for his devotees. So Kuru is meditating on his eyes. When I see him, he's going to have tears in his eyes, and then... And what happens in India when someone gets tears in their eyes? Right, the whole village gets tears in their eyes. Right? This person's crying, so then this person's crying, then that one's crying. No one even knows why we're all crying. That's the nature. Because when devotees are very soft-hearted, they become affectionate. Okay, last verse. Recognizing me as an intimate friend and relative, Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arms, instantly sanctifying my body and diminishing to nil all my material bondage, which is due to fruitive activities. So he says he recognizes me as his friend and relative. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktosi me sakacheti. I will teach you this intimate science, Arjuna, because you are my devotee and friend. So if we want to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we want to understand the Bhagavad Gita, you must become Krishna's devotee and his friend. What is the nature of a friend? Well-wisher? Yeah, very good. What else?
Trustworthy?
Very good. What else? Caring? Very good. If someone is your friend, they will never let you down. That is a friend. You can call upon them day or night. They are there for you. That is a friend. So we have to be like that with Krishna. If you're not like that, then you will not get Krishna. And Krishna will test us. You say you're my friend? We say, of course I'm your friend. And Krishna says, okay, and see what you do now. Are you there for me? So he will test. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Next exam is at the end of chapter. You have to help me sometimes. Chapter 40. So what chapter is this? 38. Yeah. So end of chapter 40, that's the next exam. So in other words, I would say end of July. endofjuly.com.au. Please come. Hare Krishna. Please, someone give fees before Kali Yuga finishes. Otherwise, one day you'll come and I'm not here. Up to you. See? Sri Chaitanya. Yay fee.
Every week he gives. What is this?